Today's gospel brings us once again to the great Advent figure of John the Baptist. We know that he's one of the Advent figures because his whole mission is to prepare the way, and that's what Advent is about, preparing the way. We met John on Sunday, second Sunday of Advent. That was the first time we heard him in the liturgy, and this is the second time, I think. I can't remember any mention of John the Baptist. Well, actually, in the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, I read the passage about the visitation and John left in the womb, but I'll just set that one aside for now. This is John the Baptist in his adult life, in his public ministry. And this gospel and Sunday's gospel gives us an opportunity to reflect on greatness. John himself spoke about greatness when he said, "One greater than I will come after me," remember? "And I'm not even worthy to stoop and untie the thong on his sandal, or the strap of his sandal." So John acknowledges the huge gap between the one who is to come, which is Jesus, and himself. So if you want to talk about greatness to John, John will say, well, he's the one, greatness. And we can understand that. Of course, Jesus, the greatness of Jesus surpasses anything we can imagine or speak about. But along comes Jesus and says, among those born of women, meaning everybody, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. And then he says, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So John explained or revealed that there's two levels of greatness. So there's where we are, and then there's the one who is to come. And there's no comparison. But Jesus makes this further distinction. He's not talking about himself here, but about the difference between those who are of the old law, those of whom John is the greatest, and those of the new law or the new covenant, and who by definition surpass the greatness of John. Now, if we think about this, we can make a little sense of it, because we know that this is God's plan all along, is to raise us up. When we celebrated last week the Immaculate Conception, we had we were given a glimpse of this. Mary, after all, didn't do anything to make herself be preserved free from sin. It was a gift to her. She was preserved. And so a new level of greatness was introduced into the world. A new creation. Now, Mary's greatness is not only that she received this gift, but that she so perfectly responded to it, she corresponded to it. So she's great in both senses, both in what she received and in what she gave of herself. But we at least understand there's a greatness that's established by God in the world. And we understand, at least in some limited way, the greatness of Jesus Christ, who is God made man. So we have these ideas. Oh, we got Jesus Christ, we have the Blessed Virgin Mary, we have John the Baptist, and they're all great. But Jesus won't let us stop there and say, oh, there's great things God has done, and God introduces greatness into the world. He says the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. And that means this greatness that we're talking about or rambling about applies also to us. And this is the hardest thing for us to probably take, because we know that we know ourselves not to be in the category of Jesus, the Immaculate Conception, and John the Baptist. We say, well, that we're talking about two different things, right? And Jesus says, no, I'm not talking about two different things. I'm talking about a new gift, a new possibility made available to anyone who welcomes the gift. So that is us. We're born of women, yes. We're all born of women. We're all born into a fallen world in a fallen condition. But so we're born under the law. But we're also born again by baptism under a new law in a new condition that is not under the reign of sin. And that's the greatness Jesus is talking about here. The least in the kingdom of heaven. Our entry into the kingdom of heaven starts with faith and with baptism. Now, this is difficult for us to ponder because it doesn't take long for us to realize we're sinners. I hope that doesn't take very long. I mean, there are people, you see them in the news sometimes, people who are proclaiming their greatness all the time. It's a little bit frightening, and they seem to believe it. You know, public figures who really seem to think that they're better than everybody else. And there's a psychological condition there, no narcissism or grandiose personality. A neurosis or there's psychological terms for that. People who think that they're really greater than everyone else or that they have never done anything wrong. That's a very serious disorder, by the way, because it's an unreality. But I think most people know that we're sinners and we're not greater than everybody else, and we're certainly not greater than John the Baptist. And so with that awareness, it's hard for us to take in this idea of being greater than John the Baptist. But this is exactly what God has in mind for us. We are here in Advent preparing for the coming of the Lord. Let's not forget that the reason why the Lord comes is for our sake. Yes, he comes to reveal himself, but so that we know him and we accept him and we are drawn into his kingdom. He wants to share a greatness with us which is beyond our imagination. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even dawned on the mind of man what God has in store for those who love him. But this is the very thing that has been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, as I was thinking about this idea of greatness in light of today's saint, Saint John of the Cross, who is one of the greatest saints, one of the greatest mystical theologians, patron saint of mystical theologians. And John's greatness, usually, I think I'm not alone in saying that there's something kind of intimidating about the greatness of John of the Cross. I think our first impression of him is he's one of these like Olympic athletes. You know, you can't keep up with him. He's climbed the mountain of holiness. And he makes friends with Teresa of Avila, who's a spiritual giant and a doctor of the church herself. And you know, these people are like out of our league. That's the impression that most of us get, which is a little unfortunate because that's not at all what John was trying to do. He's not trying to separate holiness from everybody. He's trying to make it available. But anyway, we hear about the dark night of the soul, and we talk here about climbing the mountain of holiness, and we say, well, okay, that's for people who are really trained for years and can make a little progress. And that's why we're so grateful, and the church is so grateful when St. Therese comes along. I talk about Teresa, the little flower, not big Teresa, little Teresa. And she comes along and says, well, just be a child, just be little, just accept the Lord's path to holiness like a child. And it seems to us, and this is a superficial impression, that John's way is the difficult way and Teresa's way is the easy way. Now, since it's his feast day, I think it's good to make this reflection that I don't think either John or Therese would see it that way. We think of John as so ascetical, as so emphasizing the cross and self-denial and darkness. And it's true, it's certainly true, because he's emphasizing the nothingness of human efforts. But he's not telling us, John of the Cross is not telling us to be Pharisees, to focus on our what we do to make ourselves holy. That's not what he's saying. Because nothing in the scripture, in the Gospels, tell us to be Pharisees. The focus of John is on the Lord, who is love. flame, what is it? Eternal flame? How does it go? John the Cross's expression, eternal flame of love, a flame of eternal love. He emphasizes this via negativa in order to set us free to enter into this greatness that God has in store for us. So he would immediately recognize the greatness in the teaching of Saint Therese. Now Saint Therese, who is usually associated with this littleness and this kind of childlike simplicity, she's a very ascetical woman. And if you try to follow her, you realize how difficult it is because our pride gets in the way and our flesh gets in the way. But she's not that much different than John. She's actually just an advancement of the same spirituality. Now, Pope Francis recently made this point, you know, just 2 months ago, on the feast of Saint Teresa of Avila. He issued that new document on Saint Therese, the little flower. And he deliberately did not release the document. That's the C'est la Confiance, the document on Saint Therese. He didn't release it on her feast day. He released it on the feast day of the Carmelite mystic, Saint Teresa of Avila, because he said, I want to transcend the focus just on one saint or one anniversary. I want to show the development of spirituality in the church from one doctor of the church to another. And I think that's what both John of the Cross and Saint Therese would say. Yes, go with the flow here. Go with the building up of holiness in the church. Go with what's revealed. Go with the grace available. Go with the greatness that is available. And I think that's what I'm taking from this little reflection on greatness. Don't get caught up in what you can accomplish or what you haven't accomplished or what a big sinner you are or were or anything like that. Get caught up in the plan of God for your greatness, for your transformation, because that's really what it's all about. And we are recipients of unimaginable grace. When we're in Advent, we are, yes, acknowledging our darkness, our need, our need for a savior. We're not transformed yet, but we live in hope. We live in joyful hope because we know this is what God has in mind for us. So that's why this is an Advent reading. It's talking about greatness, the greatness of the least in the kingdom of heaven. And St. John of the Cross, for all the negativity that's associated with him and the darkness associated with him, is an Advent figure, a figure of joyful anticipation of what God will do and is doing even now.